We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
I don't think I've really seen a Wednesday night service done. So I had to ask for a few instructions. How do we do prayer time? PT gave me instructions. Don't tell anybody I asked that, but I just double checked and had some freedom tonight. Well, you have notes, and the title tonight is God's Work, Our Response. Everybody say the word.
Patience.
Becca Sanders put this PowerPoint together for me, and I think it's wonderful. How many of you dread to see that symbol on an electronic device going really slow? I can't stand it. But if you turn to Hebrews chapter 6 tonight, let's look. Chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints," and you do minister. And tonight, I am so thankful that God doesn't forget the good things we do in the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad for that? He doesn't forget. I forget. Somebody said, "Do you remember then?" I'm like, "No, I don't." I'm just glad that God knows, and that one day he'll remind me of that, I hope, right? I mean, if it's done in the name of Jesus Christ, he will. You go to verse 11, "And we desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and," there's the word, what is it?
Patience.
"Inherit the promises." So if you're going to inherit the promises, and just a show of hands tonight, who wants to inherit the promises? There's a lot of you in here. You have to do it through faith, and what's the word?
Patience.
That's the only way it's done. Now I'm going to confess something to you tonight, mainly because my wife is sitting right there, that I have not mastered patience yet. Okay, I just want to let you know I'm so far away from that. There are just some sermons you feel led to preach, and you know, because God's doing a work in my life, it's fresh in my life, the issue of patience, but the truth is, it's a difficult one. But you'll see some things about patience tonight. Let me give you a few verses. I don't know if they'll be up on the screen. You can just listen. I'm going to go kind of quick. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit," is better than the proud in spirit. That's a good one, right? I'm going to allude back to the first part of that verse in a bit, perhaps. Let me move to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is" what? "Salvation," the verse says. Let me read the first part of that verse again. "And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." He's patient. And if he isn't patient, if he's not long suffering, we don't have salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a patient wife. I'm thankful that my kids are patient. The longer that you get to know me, I want to go ahead and extend you a thank you. Thank you for your patience. Okay? But I'm thankful that God is patient, because God knows me behind the closed doors and in the inner recesses of my mind when I'm driving down the road, when I'm at home alone, when I'm watching TV, when I get cut off on the road, when I'm thinking, when I get irritated, and we're going to talk about some of these things. God knows me. He knows the real me. He knows when I'm playing the game and when I'm being real. He knows when I mean it and when I don't. And he's still long-suffering with me. I'll take that as a tremendous blessing of the Lord. James 5:10 says, "Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and" what's the word?
Patience.
Some of you are... You're just like, "I'm glad others are loud." Let's try that again. Affliction and of?
Patience.
Whew. I mean, when you read the Bible, God put people through the ringer. He exercised patience, and he demonstrated patience through his saints. There are examples. Charles Swindoll said this. He said, or Chuck Swindoll, "True patience is waiting without worrying." I don't agree with that. I mean, there's an element of truth to that. But raise your hand tonight. This is a little therapy session if you worry. Come on now. All right. Pastor Tom is my pastor. I didn't see you raise your hand. Okay, just making sure. Okay. All right. Yeah. You're going to have to. He's like, oh boy, I've preached to you for years. I don't want to hear it. No, I'm just teasing. I'm going to get you. Yeah. Listen, patience without worrying. Look, I might add this. We all worry, don't we? We all worry. Worry is what drives you to your knees in prayer, right? I don't know that it's waiting without worrying. I don't think we ever get to the point where we don't worry. I think what worry is, we're going to worry. It's what we do with our worry. It's where we take our worry, right? I mean, I was worried last night, but I'm not using this as a platform to push anything. It's done, right? I was worried last night, and I needed to pray. Amen. I've been worried about a lot of things in my life. It's what I do with it. It's where I take it. I can't hold on to it. I can't embrace it. I got to get rid of it. And it's what it causes me to do. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. Ladies, this is your chance to amen as loud as you possibly can. Ladies? And I just see my credit score going up in the ladies. And the guys are like, no. This guy, we got to get rid of him. But patience is a virtue, possess it if you can, found seldom in a woman, never in a man. Well, let me just go on and say this. We must understand the responsibility of patience. And I want you to understand the responsibility of patience. And you say, well, what do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to unpack this pretty quickly. And if I have enough time, I'm going to give you some bonus information. The first one is this, is God's part. And you might be thinking, what do you mean God's part? Well, He provides the opportunities. And the first one is interruptions. Has God ever provided an interruption in your life? One of the first passages that pops out in my mind is Mark chapter 5, if you want to turn there. Mark chapter 5, and beginning in verse 22, and behold, there cometh out one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him, Jesus, speaking to Jesus, besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. And many of us, let me just break it down and make it real. Many of you have besought God for something that you believed that was an emergency in the moment and in the time, and I'm sure it was an emergency, and you went to God, and you did not get the answer. I mean, you felt God say yes, but then as things evolved, you're like, this isn't exactly what I thought you said you were going to do, God. What do I mean? Well, here's a good example. And Jesus went with him. So he says, Jesus, come, and if you'll come to my house and lay hands on my daughter, she'll live. In verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing but better, but rather grew the worse. And I'm just gonna paraphrase here a little bit. She laid hands on Jesus, and remember, Jesus, he knew that something went from him, and he turned around and he dealt with her. And ministered to her and encouraged her, and the delay must have been significant enough that we find in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And the rest of the story is he went to the house. He said, you know, why are you all shook up? She's not dead. She's sleeping. But the illustration I want to bring is that in our life, when we think about patience, there are things in our life we pray for when we feel like God is moving and God is answering, and then things don't go the way we want or the way we desire. And we think, well, you know, she's dead, or this isn't going to happen. And then next thing you know, you just sense the presence of God saying, just you of little faith. How many of you have ever prayed? Oh, there's Todd. Sorry, Todd. I didn't realize you were in here for that illustration earlier. There he is. I'm in trouble now. But how many of you have ever prayed for something and given up because you thought God didn't care, or you just got impatient? And about the moment you gave up, or the moment you started thinking about something else, God didn't forget. And what did God do? And you thought to yourself, if I just would have acted or behaved a little differently, if I just would have had more faith, I kind of blew that. But God brings irritations into our life. He also brings inconveniences. Right? And God allows these things for a reason. He brings irritations. He brings inconveniences. Did you know that inconvenience is the number one complaint of consumers? Americans are far more or less tolerant than they were a decade ago. Right? I believe so. I want what I want, and I want it. Oh, I get a good response there. I want what I want, and I want it now. And if God just gave us what we wanted when we wanted it, well, that would work, wouldn't it? Because it works in parenting. The more they cry, the more I give them, and then they get quiet. No, we raise rebellious whiners and complainers, and we're raised a rebellious generation. No, God allows inconveniences. Here are some synonyms to the word inconvenienced. For those that don't know what a synonym is, I'm just going to break it down. It's like words, okay? Aggravation, bother, botheration. Now I need to know. Bugbear, B-U-G-B-E-A-R. Anybody ever heard of bugbear? Anybody? One person. All right, but two, but I need to talk to you afterward, okay? Spurgeon, he used bugbear. There we go. He teaches bugbears. There it is. I'm learning something new. Exasperation, frustration, hair shirt. Don't know what that one is, except when I get a haircut and they don't get the hair out and it gets down my shirt. That's a hair shirt. That's an inconvenience for me. I get very inconvenienced. Hassle, headache, annoyance, irk, nuisance, peeve, pest, rub, ruffle, thorn, trial, and to bring it all together, vexation. God allows these things in our life to produce patience. When the rest of the world is freaking out about the election, or when the rest of the world is up in arms about a recession, when the rest of the world is beside themselves, we are best demonstrating the power, the light, and the love of Jesus when we're calm, and when we're joyful, and when we're patient, and when we're at ease. You with me? But God knows the only way He's going to bring these things into our life is to allow these things to take place. And we better get the lesson. I'll tell you this also. Some of the sweetest moments in my life have been out of the moments of inconvenience. How about you? We could probably have testimonies tonight of what inconvenience is. I mean, listen, witnessing opportunities. Some of the best opportunities and most fruitful opportunities in witnessing that I've ever had are the moments when I said, I do not want to do that. Can I give you a case in point? Like one that's real, just happened last week. I went to get my driver's license and my plates on my vehicle. I do have Florida license. I'm waiting on the information to get my plates. Some of you that still see those Tennessee tags and are judging me, only God can do that. Will you come Sunday and we'll talk about that, okay? That's going to be what I'm preaching on. But I'm sitting there and I called and they said it would be an hour. It ended up being over 2 hours before I got out. And I kept waiting for the number, and then I don't see her tonight. I'm not going to mention any names. It's nobody from our church. This lady comes and sits down and begins to talk with me. Anybody have somebody come talk to you when you're no mood to have a conversation? And she's just talking, and she's loud. And then she says this, and I know what's about to happen. She says, "What do you do for a living?" And I said, I'm on staff at Faith Baptist Church. I'm on the pastoral staff. And she goes, "Oh, I've got one. I am mad at God, and we are not on good terms." And the entire, over here at the Pasco, I don't know, license branch office, what we call that. I mean, I'm sitting in there. You know the room. Many of you know the room. And everybody's eyes are on me. And she wants me to unpack this information. And I'm just saying, I am the next number. I do not want to talk. But I'm the C, I'm the letter C, and they're on I and D, and they're not calling any of the any C's. I'm like, have they forgotten about me? And she wants to have a conversation. And it ended up being a sweet, sweet conversation. And she ended up tearing up a little bit and said, I'm going to take that into consideration. But I had to just get out of the way. Amen. God's not interested in me and I and my schedule and my time and my pains and my nuances. I mean, God loves me. He cares. But he's got so much bigger of a picture than me whining and complaining about me. Going to church can be an inconvenience. And a lot of you super Christians are like, never. I've never had the thought of, I would like to sleep in this morning. I certainly haven't, Angie. Pastor's wife's here, so I didn't even. How about he provides opportunities? How about just those inconveniences, those irritations again? You know, the election cycle could be an irritation. Being sick, I've recently been sick. Thank you for your prayers. That was a super inconvenience being new. Vehicle problems, that's an inconvenience. Moving is a big inconvenience, you know? And I've learned something. The more you worry, the more productive you are. And the more you worry, and the more you fret, and the more you get up in arms about the problem, the more God says, oh, and I'm going to answer that stat. No. He says, a little bit more. You're sour. You're not getting the point. I've learned something in life, and I still got a few of these backed up. It's going to take me a while to get to them, that God puts things in your life, and if you don't get it right, they come back around a different way. That's not karma. That's just called rebellion. And I've passed some. I still have a backlog I need to get through. All right? And God's saying, I'm doing a work in you. There's a reason for these things. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, just do this. Say, wow. Right? You mean to tell me, you know this verse, you've heard it a million times. If you've been in church very long, right? In everything give thanks. And until we learn to bow our knee and give thanks, there's not going to be any deliverance from the situation in which we're in. It's just going to re-manifest itself in a different package. Right? Those that are mature in the faith, you know what I'm talking about. It's biblical. It's what God does. How many of you love oysters? Oh, I love oysters. I found a place to eat oysters. I thought, man, this is unbelievable, right down the road from my house, until I got the bill. Uh-huh. Okay, but oysters. Into the shell of an oyster, a tiny, maybe you've heard this before, but a tiny foreign body, such as a grain of sand or a tiny parasite, just so tiny, finds its way into the soft oyster body. And for those that like oysters, you know that soft oyster body. Steamed, a little bit of butter. The intruder, though microscopic, is a source of irritation and pain to the soft body of the oyster. Unable to rid itself of the welcome guest, the oyster seeks to reduce the irritation by coating it with layers of soft, iridescent, mother-of-all-pearl material from its own shell. And over time, the oyster transforms the painful irritation into a beautiful pearl of great value. And even though we've heard that illustration, maybe you have it and you're going, wow. And if you have, be reminded that whatever is in your life needs to be coated with the grace of God and the thankfulness of God. And what will it become? It will become a life-saving testimony for someone that needs it, so they'll get closer to God. I'm going to dance here in a minute. Well, most of us have tiny parasites or annoying little pebbles in our life that come into our life on a, check this out, regular basis. I'll be honest, for me, some of us, it's the old nature, the old man. Somebody say, just nod your head so I don't feel so alone up here. The old man creeps up quickly. My wife's going, yes, amen. She'd like to. This is a true statement. Trials either make you better or they make you bitter. And yet, this cliche statement that we so say and share, let's be honest, oftentimes in life, I'm speaking from experience because I know we say it, we know it, we preach it, but we don't live it. We just don't live it. It's not what happens to us that really matters. It's how we react to what happens. It's not what happens to us. It's how we react. You mean to tell me that the Christians who died under Hitler were any less spiritual because their lives were shortened? No. You mean to tell me we live in the day and age, and we do, by the way, where more persecution is happening in the church than any time before in church history? There are people dying every day by the hundreds because they're standing for Christ. Many are dying as early as elementary age. It's not what happens. It's how we respond to the gospel, to what God is doing in our life by way of irritations and trials in our life. Here's another one. God often allows inactivity. There's just times in our life we're like, where are you, God? I don't sense your presence like I once did. I don't feel you. I feel distant from you. Sometimes it's sin produced. We need to do a little gut check. Sometimes God is just saying, hey, I'm here. I'm here. But I know what I have for you. I know what lies ahead. And I need to prepare you. Doesn't mean I don't love you. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. We all hate waiting, as I've said. But it takes time to develop patience. And I think this is so crucial to understand. God did not create us for a life of hurry and worry. There is one person that's been given a lot of influence, one being that's been given a lot of influence over the world's economy and the world's value system, and that is devil, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him. He's been given influence, and so he is taking the world in the direction that he knows that it needs to go so that Christians will be filled with hurry and worry and stress and fear and anxiety so that they won't have time to have the power of God. They know of God, right? But they deny all the power. So, God's part. Now, let's look at our part, and then this is crucial as well. We must respond positively. We've got to have a positive nature about us. I mean, people say you're full of energy. Okay, I am. And sometimes it's just chaotic. It's too much. Just calm down, Denver. I get that. Okay, I do. But really, shouldn't we be joyful? Amen. Right? I've already done a sermon on joy, but we should be happy. Not like the song that's out, because I'm happy all the time. Whatever. Right? But listen, we need to respond positively several ways by discovering a bigger perspective. We need to discover a bigger perspective. If you have a Bible, you may want to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Those that know the Word of God, not that you're better. Some people are like, well, I mean, they're not better. A lot of people know the Word of God. You know where I'm going with this, right? Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 8. Now, this is God speaking, and it's been written down, but this is God speaking, and you just need to remember this about God. When you have trials, when you have things in your life, what is God doing? What is my response? I need to understand God. What do I need to understand about God? No matter how smart, how long you've been in church, how much knowledge you think you possess, how comfortable you are with the religious system in which you're in. I mean, we don't want to cultivate a religious system here at Faith. We want a spiritual environment where we can change and maneuver and respond to whatever God says. We want to go that direction, right? That's what we want to do. And we understand this concept. It is this: for my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Do you get that? God does not think the way you do, and he does not do anything the way you think it needs to be done, and he never will. So many of us, we try to put God in his box. And say, I don't understand. God doesn't think like you. Oh, why are you doing this, God? Because God doesn't do things the way that we want them done. We do not have the mind of God. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the flower, and bread to the eater. I mean, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. He sends these things, and he's going to keep sending them until we respond and until we get it. Impatience is really a reflection of your own self-centeredness. Let me say that again. Impatience is really a reflection of your own self-centeredness. Guilty. Guilty. Woo! A mature person can be judged by his or her patience level. I got a long ways to go. We need to respond positively by developing a sense of humor. Woo, right? People think I'm off my rocker, but you can ask my wife and you can ask my kids. They got a good kick. It's possible. It's possible that maybe I was talking to my family and it's this possibility that I wasn't paying attention to the traffic stopped in front of me. And I may have been in my truck with my family, my precious cargo, and had to slam on the brakes sometime recently in Pasco County. It's possible. And I began to laugh. But that wasn't because I was not stressed or scared. But I shouldn't throw myself like I'm something when I'm not, but I just want to say, I think sometimes laughter is the absolute best demonstration of the peace of God in your life. Amen. I laugh a lot because when there's things you can't control, you know, some people just like, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't know what to think. I don't know what to say. You just laugh. Okay? Some people are like, he's speaking in tongues. Doesn't make sense. You don't need an interpreter. It's just to trust God. Humor reduces stress and demonstrates trust, doesn't it? I think we need to respond positively by deepening our love. Deepen your love. You know the children's song? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. I mean, I didn't say knowledge. Some people, we got a lot of knowledge. We got a lot of knowledge. A lot of knowledge without love. You don't respond the way that we're saying that we need to respond. We deepen our love by depending on Christ's power. God is patient. The closer we grow in our walk with Christ, the more patient people we become. Right? I mean, the closer we get to God, the more patient we should become. But we need to be depending on Christ's power. Here's a great illustration to kind of wrap a lot of these concepts up. According to a traditional Hebrew story, Abraham was sitting outside his tent one evening when he saw an old man, weary from age and journey, coming toward him. And Abraham rushed out, greeted him, and then invited him into his tent. And then he washed the old man's feet and gave him food, and he gave him drink. The old man immediately began eating without saying any prayer or blessing. So Abraham, he asked him, "Don't you worship God?" The old traveler replied, "I worship fire only, and I reverence no God." When he heard this, Abraham began, and he became incensed. He grabbed the old man by the shoulders, he threw him out of his tent and into the cold night air. When the old man had departed, God called to his friend Abraham, and he asked him, "Where's the stranger?" Abraham replied, "I forced him out because he didn't worship you." And God answered, "I have suffered him these 80 years, although he dishonors me. Could you not endure him one night?" It's one night. I hope I'm better. How many of you are quick to judge? Oh, I can sit in my chair in my office. I can preach from the pulpit. I can talk to you in the hallway. We shouldn't judge. Yeah. But let us be reminded. Real quick, I want to give you some freebies, some takeaways. Are you ready for some takeaways? Got a few moments, so I'm going to give you some takeaways. These are not in your handouts, so you can write them down. I'll try to get them to you. Here's some takeaways. Number one, why be patient? That's the title. Why be patient? Well, I want to submit to you that God is in control. You be patient because God is in control. I take it from Job. You know, Job went through a lot. He didn't understand. God was doing a work that wasn't just for Job. I like to get prophetic and say he was right, and he was doing a lot of that for with an eternal perspective in mind for generations yet to come. We're reading a story, aren't we? It wasn't all about Job. If Job made it all about him, he would have listened and cursed God and died. Why be patient? Well, here's another one. God rewards patience. If you have a Bible, turn to Job 42. Or just listen to me as I read from Job 42. In Job 42, beginning in verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses, and he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. God rewards patience. Maybe Job went through those trials so he could raise those beautiful girls. I'm just saying. Okay. It's right there in the Bible. Patience? How many of you have raised nothing but girls? I'm going to tread very carefully. I need patience. And you're thinking, because I'm raising 3 girls. No, I need patience so I can be a good dad. Because I'm not a very good listener. And girls like to talk. Can I add some more to that? And talk, and talk, and talk. But if I'm learning patience, we got to learn patience because God's got people for us to listen to minister to, that need us to be on our A game of submission to God. God is working everything out. We see that in Job. I mean, in verses 16 and 17, and this lived Job 140 years, and he saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. This is God restoring him after he lost the majority of his family. And so Job died being old and full of days. God is working everything out. That's why we need to be patient. That's why we need to trust in him. And real quick, I'm going to wrap this up. Not only, I want you to know why we need to be patient. This is just some freebies. But how to be patient. Well, I'll tell you, here's how we be patient. How do we be patient? We wait expectantly, trusting in his word, and we trust in his promises. Amen. We trust in this. And let me go back to something else I said. We need to love God. We need to love him. We need to wait quietly. How do we be patient? We wait quietly. Psalms 46:10 says this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So I'm not saying a lot about the election tonight, but I'll say this. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, if things didn't go your way, it doesn't mean the end of things because my God says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will. You can bank on it. We wait quietly. You know, in our deepest despair, God is doing a work that will exalt his name among the heathen. That's his goal. You have trial. You have irritations. You have annoyances. You've got anything going on in your life. God is doing a work for the primary purpose, right? The purpose that he may be exalted. Whatever you're going through tonight, let me ask you. Is it causing you to exalt God? Is God being exalted through your difficulties, through your path in life, through your choices, through your responses. If not, you're not waiting confidently. Let me finish this with this. This is a freebie, but don't write it down. I'm not sure how it fits yet, but I think it's funny. John McKay of the NFL tells a story illustrating the supreme confidence of the University of Alabama football coach Bear Bryant. Who knows who has ever heard of Bear Bryant? Yeah. I'm not endorsing the university. We were out shooting ducks. And finally, talk about optimism. After about 3 hours, here comes one lonely duck. The bear fires! The duck is still flying today. But Bear watched that duck flap away. He looked at me and said, John, you are witnessing a genuine miracle. There flies a dead duck. Right? We are going to experience things as Christians. We are going to experience things as Christians that the world is going to say, they're dead ducks. They should be cursing God. They should abandon the church. It's full of hypocrites. You have been through so much. Why would God allow that to happen? That's the question I had at the DMV. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Why does he do that? You should be sour. You should be miserable. You should be just, I couldn't react the way you're reacting. You don't know my God. Amen. I've moved beyond knowledge. I now possess love. And I'll leave you with this thought. I've left you with a lot of thoughts tonight, haven't I? But I'll leave you this thought. Love is nurtured. And sometimes when I'm pursuing God and I don't hear from him, I'm pursuing him and I'm not hearing from him. And he says, Denver, you can't do what you've always done or you'll always get what you've always got. Oh, I know you're pursuing me, but you need to do it a little differently. You need to come about it a little differently. And I promise you, you'll find me. I haven't moved. Your perspective needs to change. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.